Praise the Lord. This is your Bible teacher, Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. We're at chapter 4 now in the book of Acts, 37 verses, translation and commentary, and then we're also in part 6 of reigning with Christ. And we have a couple of letters. But right now, let's go to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint this service. Lord, pour out your outward anointing so that our inward anointing can be strengthened and that we can become more and more into the fullness of the stature of Christ. Lord God, we pray that you lead, guide, and direct everything that is said and done in this next hour or so. Sometimes these tapes run more, Lord, sometimes less. And we ask that you do it to where souls will be saved and edified, lifted up and strengthened in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
All right. What's now, Sister Michelle, what's the first letter? Where it's from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
Go ahead.
Dear Pastor Alamo, first of all, I apologize to you for making inordinate delay in giving you reply because of my parents' ill health. We are grateful to you for throwing light on the ensuing danger which is going to grip the world. By reading your literature, we come to know that you show his fury on sinners. As you stated in your literature, nowadays people are engaged in their mundane activities. They are unable to allot a little time for God. Man has plenty of time for worldly matters, but he has no time to extol God for his blessings. Hence the American calamity in 1994 and the recent tsunami. Thank you for enlightening us in the wrath of God. I passed on the literature Mass Suicide to some Hindu friends, and they realized the ways of God. Until then, we had never come across the verses which you mentioned in your tract about God's wrath. The people in my vicinity realized the importance of following God for redemption from sins. Most of us in this town firmly believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of mankind. If you could send me more literature, we will translate them into our language and see that they are distributed among Hindu friends through our evangelists. We once again thank you for the literature, Mass Suicide, and other booklets. Pray for my family and neighbors' children. Awaiting your reply, God gives health, wealth to all of you and your ministry. Thanking you, sir, your sister in the Lord, M.K.
Praise the Lord. And the next letter is from where?
From Cote d'Ivoire, Africa. God is working through Pastor Alamo for the salvation of souls. My problem, Pastor Alamo, is that I am asking for your help to be able to join you in the United States. There is a war going on here. Death is raging. I'm asking the whole church to help me. I'm counting on your brotherly kindness.
Okay, like, we need to write the person and explain to him the way our church operates and see if he wants to stay here and keep the rules. And if he does, well, then we have to help him make arrangements to come to the United States. And we'll have to provide, put together some quarters for him. All right, so now, do you have anything else?
Yes, I have the letter to Tony Alamo from Joey Picador. Subject, Holocaust survivor leaving the U.S. sees what's coming.
Okay, so this is a man, I believe, you read this to me earlier, where he had seen the same thing going on in Europe as he sees happening here, and he wants to get out of this country before the blood starts being shed here as it was in Germany, Poland, Czechoslovakia. Right?
Yes.
All right, let's hear it.
One of our neighbors is moving. I've been in this neighborhood for about 6 years now, but didn't really know them very well at all, just waves and nods mostly. So I heard the moving van pull up this morning. When I got home this evening, I happened to spy my neighbor. He's like 85 years old, I don't know exactly, but he's old, talks, and moves very slowly, standing on the sidewalk next to the van. I walked over and shook his hand, and we started talking. I asked him where he was moving, and he said back to Germany. I had been stationed in Germany for 2 years while in the military, so I lit up and commented about how beautiful the country was and inquired if he was going back because he missed it. No, he answered me. I am going back because I've seen this before. He then commenced to explain that when he was a kid, he watched with his family in fear as Hitler's government committed atrocity after atrocity, and no one was willing to say anything. He said the news refused to question the government, and the ones who did were not in the newspaper business much longer. He said good neighbors, people he had known all his life, turned against his family and other Jews, grabbing on to the hate and superiority as if they were starved for it, his words. He said he was too old to see it happen right in front of his eyes again, and too old to do anything about it, so he was taking his family back to Europe on Thursday, where they would be safe from George W. Bush and his neocons. He seemed resolute but troubled nonetheless, as if being too young on one end and too old on the other to fight what he saw happening was wearing on him. I gotta tell you, it was chilling. I let him talk, and the whole time my gut was churning like I had mutated butterflies in my stomach. When he was finished, he shook my hand, gripping it really hard, until his knuckles turned white and he was shaking. He looked me in the eyes hard and said, I will pray for your family and your country. He let go of my hand and hobbled away. I have related this event to you in the hopes it will serve as a cautionary anecdote about the state of our union, and to illustrate the path we Americans are being led down by a group of fanatics bent on global economic and military dominion. When a man who survived the fruits of fascism decides it's time to leave this country because he's seeing the same patterns that led to the Holocaust and other Nazi horrors beginning to form here, it is time for us to recognize the underlying evil inherent in the actions of those who claim they work for all Americans and for all mankind. And it is incumbent upon all Americans, red and blue, Republican and Democrat, to stop them.
Yes, there are so, thank you, Sister Michelle. There are so many books, thousands of them, that have been written about the atrocities that the Vatican, the Roman Catholic, Nazi Party, and they were definitely behind the Nazi Party. And there's pictures of them with their Nazi bands, the priests and the nuns. And if you want those pictures, we'll be glad to mail them to you so that you can see. There's so many books. The Wiesenthal Library, I believe it's in Los Angeles, has hundreds of those books, unless they've been taken out of there. But there, we have several of them. And there's just thousands of people who have written about it, former Catholic priests and nuns, and that have told of the atrocities and how they bombed the Reichstag building in Germany to make it look like they needed to get an army full of fanatics, and the government actually did it, just as this government actually did the World Trade Center, to make it look like there's so much danger out there, when I said the people that we have to fear are the people in government. And most people, when I tell them that, they believe that 100%. And a lot of our military people that come back tell me that, Tony, you've written a lot of truth, but you haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg, because there's so much that we know, and there's all sorts of people that write me and inform me of all the different evil things that this government and the world government is doing, and that we're being used, our boys, to go over there and fight wars that are deliberately started by us. It's the Satan, the spirit of Satan in people. Satan knows that his time is short, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and to cast him into the lake of fire, in the hell in the lake of fire, with all the people that are deceived by him. And he knows that his time is short, and so he's full of wrath, and he's just wanting to kill, to destroy every soul that he can. And his main course of action is to deceive people by saying, by his cult in Rome, where they say, we hate homosexuality and we hate abortion, when in fact, they're running the government. And they hate the fact that the Bible's being taken out of school. They don't even say that, but because they're the ones that are taking it out of the school. And on the other hand, most of them are homosexuals. And they say they hate homosexuals. And they say they hate abortions. And yet they're the ones that are controlling and running the abortion clinics. My son, Sion, saw a cartoon in, I believe, the Los Angeles newspaper. Was it the LA Times? And it had a picture of President Bush you're standing in an abortion clinic saying, no, don't kill them this way. Save them for the war so we can kill them that way. That's what Satan wants to do, is to kill every young man so that this country is totally defenseless. They've already taken the weapons away from the people here. Of course, we don't believe in weapons anyway, except the double-edged sword, the Word of God. But the general citizen that wants to go hunting or something like that, their guns have been taken away from them, and so this country is now defenseless. Our industry has been sent out of the country to two of our former enemies, Germany, Japan, and now China has been given almost the total clothing industry and jewelry industry. And everything has changed around it. The Vatican is having a ball. Satan is having a ball with people, deceiving them. He hates anyone that's going to the kingdom of heaven. And he hates the thought of us winning people to the Lord. So therefore, he's pouring out his wrath. On the entire earth, pulling the Bibles out of schools, out of the courtrooms, you don't dare say the name God, because if you do, the judge says he'll hold you in contempt of court. That's what our people are experiencing, and many other people are reporting to us that this has become a very fascist, Nazi, Vaticanite government. And it's that way all over the world. And this man doesn't realize it, but he's jumping from the frying pan into the pot, or out of the pot into the frying pan, because it isn't just a national thing here in the United States. It's all over the world. You say that we're freedom. You must buckle yourself into a seat. Now, why? Which part of the government loves us so much that they want us to be buckled into a seat? I mean, that is taking your human rights away from you. For instance, I was in Iraq while a friend of mine, we went joyriding with his dad's car when I was about 13 years old. And we were going about 100 miles an hour outside of Lovell, Wyoming. And the car hit a soft shoulder and we went end over end about 15, 20 times, and then we rolled on the side. There was some tools in the trunk of the car, and they were scattered for a half a mile. And there was a police officer who was chasing this young man that was driving the car, and he was had his siren going, but this young man wouldn't stop, and I told him to. But anyway, we were thrown out of the car. And if we would have been strapped in there, we would have been dead. I'd have been dead a long, long time ago. And many other people, we rescued a woman out of an automobile here a few years ago. The car caught fire because she had a 5-gallon can of gasoline in the back, and she was strapped in with her seatbelt. And the motor got killed, and therefore she couldn't open the power doors. And the gasoline went on fire because of some reason. I don't know, she lit up a cigarette or something. And the fumes caught fire, and she was burning to death in there, and she couldn't get out because she was strapped into her vehicle. And their Führer says that you must be strapped in to these death traps that people are driving around in today. And they're trying with this propaganda saying that it saved many lives. Well, maybe it has, but it's also killed many people as well. One of our boys, Ray Arez, took his fist and rammed it right through the window and took it, opened the door, and ripped the seat belt that she was strapped in with, ripped it off, and pulled her out. A helicopter came and flew her to a hospital, and I think she lived. But she was on fire. And so, you know, people don't have the preference of being strapped in, or if I don't want to be strapped in, I don't have it. It's my life. All right? And they're telling you what you must do, even in your own automobile, when you know better. When you know better. But this is Satan on the rampage again. This is a satanic law. And, of course, do it or else you're going to be fined. But if I were you and you saw a wreck coming, I would unstrap the seatbelt real fast if I were you, so that in the event, so that you could bail out of the car. If the car went on fire, bail out. Don't be strapped into the seat. But anyway, so this man is going to Europe, and they're already totally suckered in by the world government, the United Nations. And this is exactly what the Bible says they would be. So read the Bible and you'll see. All right, let's start now with the book of Acts, chapter 4, with its 37 verses.
Peter and John go before the council. King James Version, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them.
Yeah, this is a religious order. The worst, our worst enemies is the Vatican. That's Christians' worst enemy, and it's your worst enemy as well. And back then it was these people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the high priests. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead.
See, they were... It's the same thing today. People are grieved because we preach the only way, truth, and life, so that people can be saved. We're directing them in a very explicit way on how to enter the kingdom of heaven and stay out of hell in the lake of fire. And this is what is infuriating people to the point to where they're making up stories about us, things that I had never, ever dreamed of. When they're talking about me in the past, they've stopped talking about me because the government agents, they didn't realize that I have a lot of friends in the media, the smaller media, and they were going from one radio station and television station from another, telling them that if they say anything good or bad about Tony Alamo, that they will take their station, their FCC license away from them. And they have done that on several stations. But now, for some reason, they've laxed off. This is going back about 15 years ago, because there was no one that was able to hold their own with me in a Bible debate, and a debate in regard to the false religions. And so they took it away. Now I thank God for the opening that we have here to preach some gospel back to the people of the world. A lot of people thought I was dead. I'm not dead. I'm going to live forever. All right? If I die, I still live. All right? We all be in heaven. All right, then what?
Verse 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide.
Then what?
Verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes. Verse 6, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Verse 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole.
And even if somebody kills any born of the Spirit Christian, we're going to rise again and enter into the kingdom of heaven. There isn't any way you can destroy our soul or our spirit. You may destroy our body, but then you made our day, because we're instantly in the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, no matter what you do to us, we're still way ahead. Then what?
Verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Right, not Buddha, not Mohammed, not the Pope, not anybody. Just the name of Jesus, not Mary. Mary is not deity. She's just a young Jewish girl that God used as an incubator to bring forth the Messiah. And so that he had to be born of a woman so that he could be a human, a God-man, begotten by the Holy Spirit, yet born of a woman. And so she was no one that is even one part of deity at that time. She just was an incubator. All right, then what?
Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Right, so now let's go into the translation.
Okay.
And we'll continue with the translation.
Okay.
All the way through.
All right. Peter and John go before the council. Verse 1. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the leading priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees came over to them. Verse 2. They were very disturbed that Peter and John were claiming on the authority of Jesus that there is a resurrection of the dead. Verse 3. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, jailed them until the morning. Verse 4. But many of the people who heard their message believed it, so that the number of believers totaled about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Verse 5. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Verse 6. Annas the high priest was there along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. Verse 7. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, quote, by what power and whose name have you done this? Unquote. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, quote, leaders and elders of our nation. Verse 9. Are we being questioned because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Verse 10. Let me clearly state to you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed in the name and power of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Verse 11. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, quote, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone, unquote. Verse 12. There is salvation in no one else.
Now that is meaning the cornerstone of the entire body of Christ, the church of God. Christ is the head, the chief cornerstone, and we, those of us who are born of the Spirit, Christians, are built upon the cornerstone. It's just like the Lord said, when Peter, by the Holy Spirit, told him that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, he said, because of the fact that you acknowledge that I am the Son of the living God, you can have the keys to the key to the kingdom of heaven. And everyone else that acknowledges that the Word of God is the way to live your life, and in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you also get to get into heaven. In other words, that's the key to the kingdom of heaven, is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, the Messiah, and that he is the actual entire Word of God. It says so in the first chapter of John, and it also says so in the book of Revelation, that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, the entire Word of God. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the entire Word of God, and thou shalt be saved, and do what it says. All right, then what?
There is no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them, unquote. Verse 13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men who had had no special training. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Verse 14. But since the man who had been healed was standing right there among them, the council had nothing to say. Verse 15. So they sent Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. Verse 16. Quote, what should we do with these men? unquote, they asked each other. Quote, we can't deny they have done a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. Verse 17.
Why would anybody want to do something evil to people that are helping people and that are healing them? These people are possessions of Satan, and they are doing the very same thing today. They conjured up a bunch of false witnesses against thousands and thousands of born of the Spirit Christians and made up lies, just like Jezebel in the Old Testament made up a lie about this. She had a man lie about a man that had this vineyard so that her husband could have it and so that she could have the person killed. And he was just as innocent as rank because he wanted to keep his own field. You don't own your property today. The government does. Try not to pay your taxes and see what will happen. They'll sell your property on the courthouse steps. You don't own anything but your soul. And you don't even own that unless you get right with the Lord, unless you get saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and have faith in the entire Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, and begin doing what it says. All right, then what?
Quote, but perhaps we can stop them from spreading their propaganda.
Spreading the propaganda. You're talking, that's their preaching propaganda. These men were preaching the truth. Then what?
We'll warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again, unquote. Verse 18. So they called the apostles back in and told them never again to speak or teach about Jesus. Verse 19. But Peter and John replied, quote, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? Verse 20. We cannot stop telling about the wonderful things that we have seen and heard. Verse 21. The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot, for everyone was praising God. Verse 22. For this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. The believers pray for courage. Verse 23. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John found the other believers and told them what the leading priests and others had said. Verse 24. Then all the believers were united as they lifted their voices in prayer. Quote, O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. Verse 25. Ye spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor, King David, your servant, saying, why did the nations rage? Why did the people waste their time with futile plans? Verse 26. The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. Verse 27. That is what has happened here in this city! Exclamation mark. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. Verse 28, in fact, everything they did occurred according to your eternal plan and will. Verse 29, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give your servants great boldness in their preaching. Verse 30, send your healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Unquote. Verse 31, after this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached God's message with boldness. The believers, the new Christians, shared their possessions one with another. Verse 32. All the believers were in one heart and mind, and they thought that what they owned was not their own. They shared everything they had. Verse 33. And the apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great favor was upon them all. Verse 34, there was no poverty among them because people who owned land or houses sold them, verse 35, and brought the money to the apostles to give to others in need. Verse 36, for instance, there was Joseph, the one who the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means, quote, son of encouragement, unquote. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. Verse 37, he sold a field and brought the money to the apostles for those in need.
Cyprus, about 97 miles from Haifa, Israel. I sailed from there Ah, praise the Lord. All right, now that was the 37 verses translation. Now we have the commentary for Acts chapter 4.
4 verse 10 through 12. Peter consistently had his listeners accountable for their actions for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read chapter 4 verse 10 and see chapter 2 verse 36 and chapter 3 verse 12 through 23. But he never concluded his messages negatively. He always declared that God would save their soul. He can do what we are powerless to do. He can deliver us from the destructive grip of sin, Satan, and the world. Everyone in the world was a sinner, and they are sinners now, except those of us who have been washed from our sins and continue in the Spirit of the Lord. So everyone needs God's forgiveness, and they need to walk in the Spirit. They need Jesus. Jesus desires complete obedience to him. He said, "All those that are not with me are against me." Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Spiritual, emotional, and physical healing is within the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we keep his commandments, we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. 4 verse 13 through 22. Peter's boldness and power took the religious leaders by surprise, and they were uncertain about how they should proceed with him and the other disciples. They commanded Peter to stop preaching and healing people, but Peter refused to obey, affirming his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the living God, which is the highest power. The leaders could not stop the preaching of Jesus' message in Jerusalem and beyond. God wants people all over the world to find salvation, to find forgiveness and freedom from Satan, sin, and the world, despite what government authorities might say. Once you have experienced the reality of God's power and guidance in your life, you won't want to return to your old life of sin. 4 verse 23 through 31. Peter and John were released by the religious leaders and returned to their brothers and sisters that today people would call, quote, the support group, unquote. This is what the church is all about. They dealt with their difficulties by discussing every issue, worshiping God, and praying. This resulted in a new manifestation of God's presence among them and a new boldness, empowering them by the Holy Spirit. What a fantastic lesson we learn from these early Christians. We are only able to find help in the support of the body of Christ, the church, where our problems can safely be discussed and prayed over. As we depend on God, he gives us the power to persevere, no matter what the difficulties are. When we bring our problems to Jesus, when we bring our problems to the Almighty God, he'll turn what seems to be devastating circumstances to occasions of great joy. 4 verse 32 through 37. The early Christians were growing spiritually by caring for each other, by meeting everyone's basic needs, and by carrying the gospel, the good news, to people who hadn't yet heard it. Barnabas was an excellent example of this. His name was Joseph, but the apostles nicknamed him Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement. He sold a field he owned to help those in need as a part of his growing to the fullness of the stature process. We need to give ourselves a name that reflects what we are becoming in Christ. We will become sons and daughters of encouragement if we emulate the things that the people in the book of Acts did.
All right. That was the commentary, chapter 4, book of Acts, and now we have part 6 of Reigning with Christ.
Experiencing reigning. Let's concentrate now on the psalmist King David. In all his life, his entire life, David submitted not only to God's authority, but also, in an absolute way, to the authority of order. He recognized always God's anointed one, that Saul was in the position of king, and that Saul was arranged by God to be his authority. He realized that he was only a subject of Saul. Therefore, no matter how Saul persecuted and hated him as an enemy, he never dared to rebel against him. In this way, he always kept the position of order, and was a man who submitted to authority. Consequently, the day came when God also anointed him to be king. that he might reign for God in the nation of Israel. That would be his position of authority. Nevertheless, these men who submitted to God's authority had their own blemishes and weaknesses. It was not until the Lord Jesus Christ came as the Word of God, who had become flesh, that there was, in this rebellious universe, a man who submitted absolutely to God's authority. In the life of the Lord Jesus, every word and action, every move and cessation, were in accordance with God's will, and in subjection to God's will and authority. Philippians chapter 2 tells us, quote, "He humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, that every knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth should bow to him, and every tongue should call him Lord, all in submission to his authority," unquote. Verses 8 through 11. Because the Lord Jesus submitted to the authority of God the Father and kept his position of order, he obtained authority and was able to reign for God.
Praise the Lord.
All right, that was chapter 4, book of Acts, with 37 verses, translation and commentary. And also that was part 6 of reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, so that we could be... He's in heaven with the Holy Spirit. We're sitting there with him and reigning here for him and with him on earth. And you've heard two letters and also an email. And tomorrow we'll be doing chapter 5, Lord willing, of the book of Acts, and also part 7 of reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there'll be other letters and comments. And until then, keep your mind stayed upon the Lord. Take your mind all your senses away from the earth, so that you can have perfect peace and a sound mind. And be very bold to approach the throne of God. And he answers all your prayers if you're a willing subject of his to serve him with all your heart. I mean, he means all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, and all the body. And to love your neighbor as yourself. There's people that have so much hatred in them, they say, if you look at me wrong, I'll slice your throat. Well, those kind of people have to get right with the Lord. There's too much of that today. There's too much violence on television and throughout the world. And people are seeing that, and they're picking up on it. It's being computed into their brains, because our mind is a computer, and what you watch, that's what you're going to become. So get your mind, your eyes off that sort of thing. And until tomorrow, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, your Bible teacher, saying praise the Lord and God bless you.